Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift him up, lift him up, lift him higher. Lift him higher than he's ever been before. Lift him up, praise his name, all ye people. Lift him higher than he's ever been before. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift him up, lift him up, lift him higher. Lift him higher than he's ever been before. Lift him up, praise his name, all ye people. Lift him higher than he's ever been before. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift him up, lift him up, lift him higher. Lift him higher than he's ever been before. Lift him up, praise his name, all ye people. Lift him higher than he's ever been before. I lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of joy.
Wow. I find my voice again.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer unto you the sacrifice is of joy. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, This is the day that the Lord has made.
Okay, Sue.
Good morning, everybody. There were some interesting things in the messages this morning, and I was pleased to hear that I'm not the only one who struggles, and I'm not the only one who doubts. This week has been a hard week for me of reflection, and to the point that it actually brought me to my knees before the Lord. That hasn't happened to me in a very long time, but I was on my knees before the Lord and realized how long it has been since I was on my knees before the Lord. And it was a very humbling experience. Brother Paul said during his message this morning, if you're not doing the word, what's the evidence that you believe the word? And that really stood out to me because, you know, sometimes you don't want to ask questions because you don't want the answers. But if you want to know the Lord and want to walk with Him and want a relationship with Him that is like that of Paul the Apostle, you know, if you want a relationship like David had with him, or Paul, or Abraham, you know, if you want that kind of a relationship with him, where's the evidence that you believe the word? And you sometimes have to get really in a quiet place to seek what's going on in your heart, to see the motives behind what you say and think and feel and do. And if you're not willing to go deep, if you're not willing to dig deeper than you've ever dug before to find out why do you do the things you do and say the things you say? If you don't want that relationship with the Lord where He shines that light in your heart, then don't dig. But if you want that light shone on the dark areas of your heart so that you can recognize them, you can see them for what they are, and then put them off. Another thing that came out of the services this morning for me was, I think it was Sister Karen or Brother Steve said, I will not forget, the song that they sang was, I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wondering. I don't know about anyone else, but that's very real to me. Excuse me. I constantly feel that way. I constantly feel like my heart isn't fully in it. And I have to remind myself, firstly, that it is not about how I feel. It is about Jesus, and it is not about how I feel. And I have to keep reminding myself that those thoughts that come into my head are attacks from the enemy. And I have to keep fighting them. You can only fight if you know the word. But I do love the Lord, in spite of the fact that I feel my heart is forever wandering. Two scriptures came to mind today. I should say one scripture came to mind and I looked it up and found another one. So I want to read them together because I thought they were interesting. In Romans 16 verse 17 it says, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. That is a warning against those who pretend to be something they're not, and they deceive us, the simple. The next one was Philippians 3. When I heard Steve reading Philippians 3 this morning, I thought, no, 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 don't read my verse. And then my daughter said something about reading the verse in the same chapter, and I said, well, a second witness is never a bad thing. But Philippians 3:17 says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That's quite the contrast from the other verse, and yet they go together, whose God is their belly. But it is an important thing to mark them which walk after the Lord. I have witnessed in the last year one person in specific in the ministry who has continued in their walk with the Lord in a way that has been a huge example to me, and that's Robin, my sister Robin. It has been a blessing to watch her move forward in the Lord and to do that which the Lord has called for her to do, regardless of what people think, regardless of how people react. And it is an amazing thing for me as a woman to have someone to look to as a woman in the faith. It's great to see it in the men. It really is an awesome thing to see men standing up for the Lord and doing what is right. But it is an awesome thing and an inspiring thing to see someone who is a woman in the faith, who is going forward, following the Lord and doing what is right. That is what I want. And it is an important thing for us all to mark those who do walk after the things of the Lord, who we do see, you know, the evidence of what they believe. If people aren't seeing that in me or in seeing that in you, we really need to get on our knees before the Lord, put off our old man and walk forward by faith in him. The scripture about taking no thought for tomorrow was brought up today. And I thought how interesting it is that if you take thought for tomorrow, it is unbelief. And how much is your life, how much is my life riddled with unbelief? That has to stop. The unbelief has to be pushed out and replaced with belief in him and trust in him, knowing he can do all things and that I can do all things through Christ. The key that Brother Davy said this morning to me was he wants to see Jesus. He wants to see Jesus when he looks at us, not see us. It's not Jesus in you, because that makes it about you. If you are entirely about him and his ways, then people will see Jesus and not you. I'm done.
So I have an odd scripture. I think it's odd. Maybe an odd scripture combination. We'll see. We all remember the first sin, do we not? Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam taking that fruit and eating it, and that was unbelief. Turned to disobedience and rebellion. We remember that original sin. But do you remember the second sin? Do you remember what the second sin was? Self-justification. You know, that cycle continues to play out today. I was trying to think of some humorous way to put it, and I don't really know that there is. But churches today have become fig fabrication factories. Fig leaf fabrication factories. You don't go in to most churches today to get clean. You actually go in to receive justification to stay exactly the way you are. That is not what we are called to do. Was listening to Paul this morning, and he made a comment, you know, it's hard to follow Phil and Dad, or excuse me, Brother Davey. Happy birthday, by the way. Paul, you ought to take this slot. Anyway, I was listening to them discuss multiple times over about disorders, you know, special education or ADHD. And rather than get deliverance from those afflictions, they just get handed something that allows them to continue to embrace it. In fact, the big thing today is embrace this, or embrace your diabetes, or embrace your ADHD, or embrace. I'm like, why the heck would I want to embrace that? Remember when Sue and I first got married and she was complaining or justifying herself about how she couldn't pay attention in Bible study? Oh, I've got ADHD. I said, really? Do you want to keep that? Well, it's a chemical imbalance in the brain. I said, and what were sinus and allergy problems? Is that not a chemical imbalance? God healed you for one. He can't heal you from the other. See, the difference is that holding on to the ADHD allowed her to remain justified and not paying attention. So we prayed, and she got delivered. See, that's the difference between tying on the fig leaves and actually receiving what God has. See, if we go to Genesis 3 and we look at verse 6, we see what happens. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7. And the eyes of them were, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They tried to cover up their nakedness. It did not work, did it? If we go to the end of that chapter, we see where God actually gives us a sign, or gave them a sign of what was to come. Let's see, verse 20, just so that it goes together. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was a mother for all living. And, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. Where did God get those? Through sacrifice. And it was a type and shadow of what was to come for the redemption and salvation of all mankind. You cannot create your own justification that will make you righteous and acceptable before the Lord God Almighty. His blood, through the death and resurrection of His Son, the sacrifice of His Son on the cross, is what can make you acceptable and will make you righteous. And the churches out there, what they are preaching is rather self-justification and self-righteousness, and it's the path straight to hell. It is the comfortable path. It is the easy path. It is the one that makes you feel good about yourself. It's been hammered and hammered and hammered since the conference about the contrast between agape love and philios love. See, agape love is the love of someone that's going to tell you what you need to hear, regardless if you're going to like it, like them, have whatever. It does not matter, because they care about your eternal soul, and they're going to give you the truth, and they're going to leave it in the Lord's hands with how you deal with it. Philios is going to give a care about how you feel. See, philios is tied directly to your flesh, and your flesh and in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. If Paul, again, pulling from some of the services today, if Paul, who by his own words, as touching the law blameless, considered that in himself, that is in his flesh, dwelleth no good thing, we ain't got a prayer. Not a single one of us. So there is no hope in self-justification. There is only hope in Jesus Christ and his blood. That it was sufficient and accomplished all that it was set out to accomplish. Now the other verse that came to mind, and this was the oddity of it to be today, but I see where it ties together. Let's jump over to Matthew. Matthew 7. And I bet you all think you know where I'm going. But you'd be wrong! Okay. Because I do like verses 21 and through the end, but I'm not going there this morning. At least I don't think I am. Matthew 7, verse 13. Go back to that concept of what the churches today are preaching is very easy. Super easy to receive. It makes you feel good. You get your, you know, your new fig leaf outfit as you walk out the door. You try to cover up your nakedness. Let me tell you what, God sees right through it. Doesn't work. You're not going to be able to stand before him in your fig leaf tuxedo and him say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Not going to happen. But there is a choice. You can take the wide path. And let me tell you, it's not about the door you enter. It's not about the door you enter when you walk into church on Sunday. It's about where your heart's at. Because the fisherman ministry doesn't save you. We talked a little bit about that yet again today. Where you go, it's not the important thing. It's where your heart's at. Now, you could take the easy way, and it's out there. Boy, I tell you what, you throw a rock, you're going to hit a place that will give you the easy way. It'll make you feel good about yourself. It'll give you every mechanism and device to allow you to feel justified in how you are and why you are and be fully persuaded that you're okay because of it. And this is what it says in Matthew 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. You know what straight means? It's narrow. We're going to get to that in a minute. It's small. It's very small. It's sort of like the roads going to Texas versus I-10. They are vastly different. I'm talking about the ranch. Those are some very narrow roads. Very straight in that sense. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to what? Destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. That is the logical choice that most people are going to take because it appeals to their flesh and it feels good. There is no challenge spiritually, all kinds of physical challenge that just, again, elevates self-worth, self-righteousness, and pride. But God didn't come to save this flesh. He came to save your eternal soul. And entering and choosing the straight gate is about your soul getting right and going to be with our Heavenly Father. The wide gate is about your flesh feeling good here and you being better than other people and you feeling good about your existence. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I feel horrible about my existence. Amen. Steve made a comment about, you know, when the press comes or when the correction comes, somebody did, I think it was Steve, when this thing's come, what do you do? Do you just want to go run in a corner and say, oh, I just give up. That's what I feel like doing. But I put my foot down and I say no, because I know that's the wide gate. That's the wide gate. Now, you can choose the wide gate or you can choose the straight gate. But let me tell you about the straight gate. Let me tell you what that means to choose the straight gate. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Do you know what narrow means? Narrow means it's pressed. There is no room to move. And you can take that and apply it to our lives today or to your life today and say, there is no room for self-justification. There is no room for excuses. Which are you going to choose? Are you going to choose the wide open, feels good path that has every excuse you could possibly utilize to let you feel good about who you are and what you are? Or are you going to take the commission of our Lord Jesus Christ to go into the straight gate where you have no justification for just how evil you are? If we go back to Genesis, we see where they disobeyed God and judgment fell. Amen. We all live it today. We're all suffering from that original sin. But here was the grace and mercy of God after the judgment, after the penalty that was given to both men and women and the earth became cursed because of that sin. God provided a sacrifice and a covering and a way out. You don't get that through the wide gate. You get that through the narrow gate, through the straight gate. That's where you get that. So I challenge you today. Take a step back and look at what path you're on. Are you on that path of self-justification, the wide way, the excuses way, the one that tells you, you don't deserve to be treated that way? Is that where you're standing? Is that where you're living? Because if it is, oh my God, get off the road in a hurry. Because that is the road to destruction. Find the straight gate. His name is Jesus. Get on the narrow way. He gives you everything you need to survive the journey. He comes and makes his abode with you. He gives us his Holy Spirit to give us the power and discernment to walk that path. And more importantly, and above all of that, not that that's of any least important, please hear what I'm saying. He gives us ministers, men and women of God, to give us direction. That is where the press comes from. That is directly when you feel yourself being squeezed and not given any excuses. It's God's hand in your life to keep you on that straight and narrow way, to see salvation at last. We all remember the original sin, but that second sin, That second sin is so unbelievably insidious. And it has to end. If you are going to see and stand before your Lord and Savior, and have, well, stand before Jesus Christ, I should say, and have him say, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant." You have to give up the fig leaves. You have to give that up, and you have to receive only that which he can provide through his Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing I desire compares to you. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing I desire compares to you. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares to you. For the water, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you, O Lord, may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You are my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king.
I love you more than any other, more than any other thing. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. And I long to worship you. And I long to worship you.